had the pleasure, and I use that word honestly, actually, I had the pleasure of introducing him to school assemblies as a deputy head at Appleby. And he was good. He was very good. So when he comes to the speech, sermon, concentrate, he used to do them in about 5 minutes, but we'll see how long this one takes. Normally I come here asking for items for the refuge. Today, for the very first time, I'm actually physically thanking you. Because Wednesday's collection was, well, it was amazing. To the point where we had to arrange, and I hope it's come, a second van to collect other items. It wasn't just volume, it was the quality and the care that people had taken in packing everything and labelling. And it really gave Peter's the manager of the Carlisle Refuges for the Homeless, gave him a lift, because when he came, he was flat. He said it had been the hardest time in his career in helping the homeless. Staffing problems, not easy, because they work 24 hours, the two refuges, and they work in difficult conditions. He'd had a drug-induced death in the ladies' refuge that week, or within the week. They'd had a very messy young girl with a messy miscarriage. And that Wednesday morning, early Wednesday morning, a young lady battered had been brought in with two young children. And he was quite flat, simply because he cannot see the pressures easing in the future. And therefore, sometime come spring, I will be asking again for items. Hopefully, maybe like we did a couple of years back, a very, very big toiletry collection, because the volume of people going through the refuges is amazing. The ladies cater for 36 at a time, that often they are doubling up in the rooms. The men, 28, but they've also got outhouses. So at one time, they're operating 70, 80 plus people. And they try to move them on and on. In a year, that adds up and adds up, literally into hundreds. So again, thank you. Thank you, John.
Church, we're here to worship this morning, aren't we? And I'm going to invite the band to come and lead us. And as they do, can I just invite you, if you're able to stand? I know we might wait till the songs start, but let's do that now, because we're going to present ourselves to the Lord this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then these guys are going to lead us in some worship. So we're here to present ourselves to the Lord. And the wonderful news is, you are acceptable to God this morning. That's great news, isn't it? We don't have to come and prove our worth. Jesus has made us right with our Heavenly Father. So let's just come with confidence before God this morning, and let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you welcome us. We are welcome in your presence today. You love to meet with your family. You love to meet with your children. And so, Lord, we come to our Heavenly Father, who has open arms for us today. We come here to meet with you, Lord. It is a time of intimacy with you, Jesus. And so we just want to open our hearts to you. We want to just delight in you today. Thank you that you want to meet with us. You want to pour your love into our hearts. You want to do us good. You want to bless us with your presence, with your goodness, with your love. And you want to empower us with your grace and power. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts to you. We come with glad hearts and thankful hearts into your presence. You're a good God, and we love you. And it is our joy and our privilege to honor you today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
So good to remind ourselves and encourage one another, isn't it, with these truths that just establish us in our faith. And these things are not just kind of high ideas that we sing about that sound good, but they actually root us and ground us in daily life. So let's just give thanks to God this morning. I'm so used to saying this afternoon with my church, by the way. So if I happen to do that, and we always make the mistake of saying this morning when we're in the afternoon, so I might get very confused. And by later on today, I'll be really, really confused. So. But let's just give thanks to God. I'm going to lead us just in a time of thanksgiving. So let's just turn our hearts in thanksgiving. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. So let's give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to give you a moment just to express in your own heart, just quietly, just God. He hears your heart's prayer. He hears the prayers of your heart. So just in this moment, just take a moment to say thank you. It might be for anything that is on your mind. It might just be thankful for today. But just give a moment to say thank you to God. Yeah, Father, we are so blessed. We're so blessed by your goodness. Everything we can celebrate, everything that we have just been able to express thanks to you for, all the blessings in our lives, all the comforts, all the joys, are manifestations of your goodness. They flow from the goodness of who you are, and you flood our lives with life because you are life. You flood our lives with love because you are love. You express goodness to us because you are good, and we celebrate your goodness. We thank you, we revel, we delight in who you are, God. We delight in your faithfulness. We delight in your goodness. We delight in the very being of who you are, the uncreated one, the eternal one. And Father, I thank you that you have made yourself known to us. You've revealed yourself to us in your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your life lived in human form, opening up, as it were, unveiling to us the very beauty and the very reality of who you are, God. Coming near to us as a human race, to bridge the gap and to make known to us the reality and the truth of who you are, God. We love what we see. We love, Lord, your compassion. We love your grace. We love how, Jesus, you came not into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. You came to make atonement for sin, the very thing that divides us and separates us from you, that makes us blind and hard-hearted towards you, God. You came to deal with. You came to address in your life lived perfectly. And in the offering of your perfect life, in death, in sacrifice upon the cross, your blood shed to pay the penalty, the debt that was owed to you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your life. We thank you, Jesus, for your death. We thank you for the offering that you have been to your Father in our place. We thank you that we can live free lives, forgiven lives, debt paid lives, because of your life and death. And we thank you, Jesus, that we stand before you forgiven, restored to friendship, restored to sonship, not through any effort or work of our own, but because of your work and effort, Jesus, the complete, full, perfect, enough work that you have done. And so, Father, we thank you that we can come and in delight in you and live our lives freely in your goodness today. Yeah. We've got much to celebrate, haven't we? Goodness of God is just so good. So we're going to have a hymn that just celebrates and glorifies and magnifies the wonder of our Saviour. 347, crown him with many crowns. Let's bring our praise to God. I don't know if you ever find it hard to think of things eternal. That hymn finishes with that focus on eternity, doesn't it? Throughout eternity, the glory and the praise of God will not fail. I wonder if you find it hard to kind of go there in your thinking when you live in the chaos of today. I don't know. We get very caught with the chaos of today, don't we? I don't know how your week has been. Has it been chaotic? Has there been much chaos in your week? So life is a little bit wild at times, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, very rarely, I don't know about you, but very rarely do I kind of feel like I've gone through the week in a fairly sanguine kind of way. It just feels like things come that are unexpected, that kind of lob themselves into my world, and I'm like, where did that come from? And then you kind of got to live with that and deal with that. And it's a bit of a roller coaster, isn't it? And life can just be a little bit wild at times. And I think the last couple of years have been anything but comfortable, have they? In all sorts of ways, there's been so many things thrown into the mix of our lives that have been unexpected, probably very unwelcome, and just been a real challenge. And I think that the consequence of that is it creates a sense of instability, doesn't it? Anybody feel a bit unstable, a bit uncertain? What's going to come next? How do we face things? How do we plan for the future? How do we kind of look forward, let alone to eternity? And I think that, you know, the things that we've been really comfortable with, things that we've been settled in, felt quite secure in, have changed, have moved, and even been lost altogether. And there's no going back, is there? There's some things that seem to have like changed without going back. And I think, you know, you and I as Christians, we're not immune to that, are we? We're not unaffected by kind of these things, this changing world, the instability and the insecurity that's all around us. And I know that, you know, I think as I reflect both from our own church, and I know you'll have your own story of that here at PMC, that these changes that come through life, through society, through culture, even through pandemics, these changes have an impact on the church as well. And that can this, even to the point of kind of challenging the foundations and testing the very foundations of what the church is. And we've been having conversations. I was at an away day with my leadership team yesterday, and we were asking the question, what is church? And because these things challenge some of the things that we establish and the things that we become comfortable with and secure in. And then it's like, but are they the church, or are they just the structures we build around, the scaffolding we build around what the church actually is? And so these are trials that can be deeply personal as well. They can have a real impact on us, both at a level of heart and emotional level. We can feel the disappointment of these things. We can feel the loss of these things, and that can be very real and very painful. And so it's a challenging time to live, isn't it? It's a really challenging and testing time. And one of the things that I've heard mentioned about kind of in the big wide world of kind of the social media and the kind of wider world is that one of the things called the deconstruction of people's faith. Have you heard of that? There's been a kind of a deconstructing of faith that's been happening, of like, what on earth is Christianity? What is it that means to be a Christian? What does it mean to be this thing called a Christian? So it's been a really challenging time for people, and I've been reflecting on that and thinking, God, what is it that holds us? What is it that holds us through all of this chaos, all of this mess, all of this uncertainty and insecurity? And I think one of the great consequences, actually, the great affirming consequences of being a Christian, is that we can have a confidence and a comfort in these realities, in these challenges, in these things. And I want to have a look at what is the reason for our confidence? What is the reason that we can hold firm in all of this chaos and all of this change? And I want to come to our reading for today, which is actually in Hebrews. I think it's going to come up on the screen. And it's a bit of a funny passage because it kind of, there's a big kind of theme that the writer of the Hebrews is kind of taking us through. And I don't want to kind of get into the exegesis of the whole passage, but I do want to just pick out this kind of singular phrase, really, which is in Hebrews chapter 6. And it says this. Let me read from the screen. So I can see that. There we go. So I'm going to read from halfway through this verse. It says, "We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us, may be greatly encouraged. That's brilliant, isn't it? So there's some great encouragement for you here today because we have something to lay hold of. And this is what he goes on to say. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And so the writer of the Hebrews is saying that we have something to hold on to that is a firm and secure anchor that we can hold on to, that is an anchor for our soul and is eternal. And he says that should be a great encouragement to us. That should be a great encouragement to us in these unstable and uncertain and insecure times. And that we need to kind of, I want to just open that up to us a little bit this morning, because these are so important for us in these times. I've reflected on, you know, Christians who their whole faith has been dismantled, churches that have been shaken to the foundation of their kind of what it means to be church. It's like, have we got hold of this firm anchor? Have we got hold of this firm and secure anchor that anchors our soul? It's not just anchors our mind or anchors our emotions. It anchors our very soul. And this is beautiful, isn't it? I want to, again, a couple of pictures, Duncan, if that's all right, from my recent experience. I turned 50 in September, and I wanted to kind of mark that in some way with doing something a little bit different. So I decided to go sailing. I'd never really been sailing, certainly not on the sea before. I'd done a bit on Oldswater, but I wanted to go sailing. So I chartered a yacht, and I invited some friends along with me. Some of them happened to know how to sail, which was rather good, because I soon discovered that I had no clue. And I had not gotten any idea of what it was to go sailing. And so I invited these friends along, and they carried us as our we were passengers, really. But we got out there. There's me. Can you see the angle on the boat? It was like proper good with sailing conditions. We had a brilliant time. But we had this picture here. Just hold on this picture here. This picture was our first night on the boat. And we found this beautiful, tranquil little corner of Scotland to hide our boat in, and tucked behind a little island. And we were there in this little bay, and there was no moorings. These kind of proper. If you go to the next slide, actually, and then come back to this one. This one shows our second night, where we had a mooring, which was a proper rock solid anchor point we could hook the boat onto. But if we go back the slide, there was no mooring here. There was nothing fixed to the bottom of the ocean that we could secure the boat to. We just had to use the ship's anchor, or the boat's anchor. It wasn't really a ship, it was a boat. But we had this anchor that we could let down. You can just see, if you might be able to just see the chain coming out of the front there and dropping down into the water. And so this anchor, classic proper anchor, I think on the welcome screen you saw a picture of quite a typical anchor, and that was dropped down onto the bottom of the water there, onto the ocean floor, and was being used to secure the boat for the night. But what I noticed, as the one who wasn't responsible, which was really wonderful, what I noticed was the skipper had a very anxious night. He had a really sleepless night because the anchor wasn't secure. The anchor was, I think the seabed was perhaps probably just a sandy seabed. It didn't have any rocks on it or any proper things to grip onto. And so it was, and so the boat, when the tide was moving, it was drifting because the anchor wasn't holding fast. It wasn't holding secure. I felt perfectly relaxed because I hadn't got a clue. And it was quite a nice, tranquil, still evening. But my poor skipper was having a sleepless night because he was conscious of the rocks that were all around us that the boat could be pulled onto or drift onto if the anchor broke loose. And so having this secure anchor is just such an important part of sailing, but it's an important part of our Christian life. It's an important, if you look at the next slide, we had a much better night's sleep the second night because of the secure anchor. And so what is our life anchored in? What is your life anchored in? And I love the imagery of an anchor, because the anchor, the chain of the anchor goes beneath the surface of the water, and you cannot see what it's anchored into. It goes beyond sight. And our anchor, that is Jesus Christ, goes beyond what we can see. It's not anchored in any of this temporary stuff that is unstable, that is shaky, that is loose, that is uncertain. The anchor that we have in Christ goes beyond what we can see and is anchored in the secure, eternal character of the faithful Father God that we've been worshipping and celebrating this morning. And I love how it is described, as Jesus describes himself as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. What a beautiful description that is. You have someone who is taking care of your soul. Isn't that great? You know, we have different people who take care of us, and maybe we ourselves are carers of different people or situations for others. We take responsibility for other people. People take responsibility for us in the kind of everydayness of our life and of our life's needs. But we have a shepherd and an overseer who is taking care of our soul, that which is eternal, that which lasts beyond our body giving way, of our finance bank accounts coming and going, of our jobs and careers and all of those things that, yeah, they're important in this life. But Jesus takes care of that which is important for eternity. And we have this certain and solid anchor. And I love this. We have Christ who's gone before us into our future. He's gone before us into our eternal destiny to secure for us that which is unseen, to secure for us that which is eternal. And I love that. So when we're feeling the pain and the loss and the disappointment and the fear of all that is changing around us, that which changes most acute, that we feel most acutely, most presently, most in the moment. And how many of us are living with that? Living with some sense of insecurity, some sense of loss, some sense of disappointment, grief, struggle with the present. I think the important thing to remember is these things are passing, but that which is eternal is held securely. That which really matters is held securely by our Father. And I love this verse. I want to read to you a verse that comes from Thessalonians chapter 5. And it says this: "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Isn't that a powerful truth? That the one who is faithful will do it. He will hold you. He will sanctify you. He will bring you through. He will keep you, body and soul, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's him who's going to do it. It's him that's doing it. He's the anchor that's holding us fast. He's the one that's going to see you through all these uncertainties, all this change, all this mess, all this chaos, all this loss, all this stuff that's going on around us. The thing that matters most, the thing that really has value more than anything else, is held secure. And is the faithful God will see us through. I love that. It's so encouraging. Jesus has a secure hold on us. Having gone into our future, having gone into the eternal reality where heaven's rules apply, where sin and death are done for good, where there is no more suffering, no more tears, no more imperfect, no more discord, no more hatred. Perfect unity, perfect belonging, face-to-face friendship with our Heavenly Father. This is where Jesus is seated. But his eyes and his hands are firmly on us in the present. Does that encourage you today? Does that lift you a little bit today? Do we need to be reminded of that today? My poor skipper didn't have a good night's sleep because of the insecure anchor. But you know what? When you go to bed tonight, you can rest securely, knowing that the anchor of your soul is immovable. The anchor of your soul is firm and secure. And what does that do for us as we just kind of land this morning? What does that do for us? It gives us peace. Gives us peace in the storm. And it gives us confidence to get on with the life that God has called us to live. We don't need to live paralyzed lives. We don't need to live fearful about stepping out the door, uncertain about what the world holds for us. You know, there are simply two things that God has called us in this life. Jesus has sent us to do. Preach the gospel and make disciples. That's what God's called us to go and do. We don't need to worry too much, guys. We don't need to worry too much about all the other stuff. You know, some of it matters, some of it doesn't matter. Some of it's lasting, some of it's not lasting. Some of it's a storm in a teacup. It's a storm, but it's really only contained within this moment. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the forerunner, the one that's gone before us, and he anchors our soul. And let's get on with the stuff that God has called us to do. Let's, you know, making disciples starts with being a disciple, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about that? It starts with being a disciple. We never graduate from being disciples. Before you're a member of this church, what are you? You're a disciple of Jesus. Before you identify as anything else in this world, know your identity as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus. That's who you are. And as a follower of Jesus, your allegiance isn't to a denomination. It isn't to anything other than the name of Jesus. First and foremost, that is who you belong to. And your faithful and obedience is to him. Follow him today. Follow him today. Know his voice. The shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Know his voice. Follow him. And live your lives on display, making Jesus known to the world around you. Let's keep it simple. Let's not overcomplicate it. And the reason why we can do all that is because of the anchor that secures us. On the last day of my sailing trip, we had a really choppy, stormy day. The wind was, I think, in our faces. What we were sailing into the wind, is that the right phrase? And so we were having to tack backwards and forwards, not making much ground at all. It felt proper hard work. We were on an angle like this, and I was given the job. I think they were making fun of me because it was my idea to do the sailing. So they put me on the helm, so I'm holding the big steering wheel, and the waves are coming over, and I'm getting this lashing into my face of this rain and the wind and the ocean just flying into my face, and I'm getting battered, and I can't even. I wish I had wipers on my eyes to keep being able to see, and it's just like holding on for dear life. But I had this harness on, and I had this hook that was hooking me onto the boat and securing me, and I was safe. I was getting battered. I was soaked to the skin. I couldn't see anything. I had no clue what I was doing. But I was safe. I was safe. And I don't know if that's how your life feels right now, but the good news is, you're safe. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the musicians just to come and to lead us in one more song. And as they do, this song speaks of the love of God that goes on and on and on. And it's like that anchor chain that secures us. So let's allow them, as these guys just lead us in this song, you might just want to sit and just receive God's love. You might want to sing it as an affirmation and just declare this truth. Whatever you want to do, I leave it to you. You can stand, you can sit. Let's just make this moment a chance for us just to respond to God's faithfulness and be affirmed in that. Thanks, Nicola.
Strong. gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love never gives up, never runs out on me. On and on and on it goes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, your love has been poured out into our hearts. Let's just receive afresh where we've felt, where we've become maybe a bit disoriented by life, by the storms, by the struggles, by the challenges, where we felt unhinged. Maybe there's been some battles that you've been engaged in that have left you feeling turned around and upside down and not knowing which way's up and where to go and what to do. Holy Spirit, would you just restore that sense of certainty, that sense of anchoredness. Lord, forgive us. We repent where we perhaps have allowed certain things to become our reference points. Things of this world, man-made things, human-made things, institutions, visible things, things that are not eternal. Maybe we've allowed those things to become our reference points, our anchors in the storm. Lord, forgive us. We're sorry that we've put our hope, our confidence, our trust in things that are not you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you restore us, that you never let go. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for each of my friends, my brothers, my sisters here today, that you would just strengthen that certainty, that confidence in the eternal, secure anchor that you are to us, Jesus. Just establish that afresh in our hearts today. You're an immovable object, not just in this world, but in eternity. And you hold us. You hold us. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, as we go into this world, as we go from here into the day, into the week, Lord, I thank you that we get to live lives that are just anchored in you. Thank you for the peace and the security and the confidence that comes from that. Thank you for the freedom. Lord, I pray peace for each of my friends here, that they would sleep well tonight. Seems a simple thing to pray for, but Lord, we pray for that. For anyone who's struggling with sleep, I pray right now, peace to your heart. That you would sleep in the... I love it, Jesus slept in the boat, didn't he? When the storm was raging, he was able to sleep because he knew his Father had him. He knew he was secure. And that's a gift to you and me. Anxiety does not need to dominate and rule our lives. Rob us of peace, rob us of sleep, rob us of rest. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you give us. And so as we go into this world, Lord, I pray for freedom and strength to be able to live obedient lives to you, Jesus, to live as disciples, following you, keeping our eyes on you, listening to the shepherd's voice. And help our lives. Lord, may we live as lives that display your goodness to the world around us. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful ministry of organisations like the Carlisle Refuge and the generosity of these people in giving of their material possessions to help those less fortunate. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to be able to live generously and Lord, lives on display, just showing your goodness to the world around us. Lord, we pray for this world that is so bereft of anchors. Lord, that we would help point people to you, Jesus. That our lives will be a display of your faithfulness, a declaration of the eternal truth of you being the refuge in the storm. Thank you, Lord. We pray for our church. We pray that this church will continue to be, Lord, a beacon of hope in this world, faithfully declaring the truth of who you are, Jesus. And Lord, we pray for peace for our nation. We pray for healing for our nation. We pray for righteousness in our nation. Lord, we pray for those who lead and rule over us, that they would be people whose lives are governed by you. We thank you for Christians in places of power and leadership, and we ask for them to be strengthened themselves today. Lord, that they would be able to stand faithful against the buffeting and the waves and the uncertainties and the pressures that rage all around them. Yeah. So we trust ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we bring our service to a close today, we're going to have one final hymn, 633, My Soul Finds Rest in God Alone. And we're going to take up our offering as we have this final hymn as well. So let's have this hymn, and I'm trusting the stewards to do what needs to be done with the offering. I have no idea how that works. So, yeah. I think that was one of those hymns that great words, but none of us knew it. I had to choose it, so I love the words, but should we give thanks? Yeah. Oh, Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your unchangingness. And Lord, we just offer you ourselves afresh today. We thank you for this offering as well of money that has been given, and we pledge it to your service today. And for the, we pray your blessing on this church and on the work of this church. Lord, may you multiply, Lord, its fruitfulness in the kingdom. Amen. Yeah. And Lord, as we go out into this world today, I pray for each one of these guys as they go into the week and into this community in which we live. Lord, may they go securely anchored in you, Jesus. We pray that they will be a blessing to the people they encounter, to the people that they come across, that they will be a people of peace in a world of chaos. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.